This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning and welcome to The Gardening Show. I'm Igor, and with me as always, Master Gardener Bob Harris. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are on Facebook Live. You can join us, facebook.com/WESB1075. And we also have our phone lines open. So feel free to give us a call at 814-368-WESB. That's 368-9372. What's on your mind today?
I wanted to talk about beginner gardeners and what they should think about here. And so I have some tips for new gardeners. Start out small. That's important. Start out small. What's a reasonable size to start with? That's going to depend on the person. Some people just want to grow a couple tomato plants. And you can do that in 5-gallon buckets. One tomato plant to a 5-gallon bucket. Make sure you drill a hole or two in the bottom of the 5-gallon bucket.
I was just going to ask about that because it gets stagnant, right?
Yeah.
The water in it.
Yep,
smell like a swamp.
Real important. So, it's real common to go with a raised bed now. That's where you build 2x6s in a square, a 4x4 square. You can plant quite a bit in there. And then you can even bump it up to 2 of those, which is highly recommended, so that you can rotate, plant your tomatoes in one bed this year, and in another bed, the other bed, the next year. So you don't get a buildup of pest and disease for one particular plant. So it can be pretty important to rotate.
What's a good one to rotate a tomato plant with? What other plant on the alternate year?
Oh yeah. That's a good question. So tomatoes are related very closely to peppers. So you want to rotate both of them.
Oh.
You don't want to put a pepper where you grew a tomato. Eggplant's the same thing. Those are all closely related. So don't plant those in the same spot that you had a tomato or a pepper the year before. Now, a lot of people have a lot of success with planting their tomatoes in the same spot year after year. But you do have a risk of acquiring a disease or a pest in that area. So it's recommended that you rotate. It's not life or death.
Right.
But it's recommended.
I remember I used to live near a farm, and the farmer next door, essentially, he grew corn one year, and then it was soybeans, I think, the next year.
Yep.
So same concept?
Same concept, yep. Because even if you're not worried about pest or disease, one plant can deplete your soil of certain nutrients. So you plant it one year, then you put it in a different spot the next year so that soil can build up that nutrient again. But again, like I said, some people have planted their tomatoes in one spot for 10, 15 years with no problem at all. And so that's just something you have to decide. But I recommend rotating. And when the plants, a big question in Bradford.
And like we said last week, don't plant those delicate ones yet because we're not done with the frost.
Yep.
Wouldn't you know it, frost advisory this morning.
Yes. So. And I had frost on my windshield. You can plant anytime you want. Trees, shrubs, perennials, grass seed. But your annuals and vegetables, those are very delicate plants. Most of them are tropical plants even. They can't withstand the frost. And matter of fact, they really can't withstand cold soil. You can plant them even if there's no frost and expect them to grow. But if they're in cold soil, that can stunt their growth. And stunt their growth to the point where it'll never reach maturity. So keep that in mind. I don't plant any annuals or vegetables until after all danger of frost, and that's usually June 1st, although we have had frost in the past later. Some will even say even up till July, but
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah,
just be prepared. You know, yeah. Have stuff to cover it with, yeah. Like you know, a light sheet or something like that. What do you recommend?
Yeah, that works. So
like a light
sheet,
bed sheet,
yep.
Like a really cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It goes. I'm thinking of something else now about the frost and so on, but I'll skip that. What's a simple way to prepare the soil? I still like the rototilling to mix the soil, make it loose. It's makes it easier for roots to penetrate through, and the root system is what it's all about. The bigger the root system, the bigger and healthier the plant will be. But you can get away with just a pitchfork or a spade by just loosening up the soil that way if you don't have a rototiller. And some people even like what they call no-till gardening, where you never turn the soil over, where you just plant into the ground. I don't really like that because a lot of the plants have really small, what we call fibrous roots, small like hairs, and they have a rough time penetrating through soil that may be hard-packed. So I always recommend tilling or turning over the soil. But the no-till has become very popular. Not real popular, I guess. It's become popular, though. And some people swear by it. But in my world, no.
Well, you like to play in the dirt. That's
yeah,
why.
That's true, too. You know,
you're always a dirty kid.
Yeah. And that's funny. Because there's a lot of information coming out about the electrons and neutrons, which that's in the soil. That's even in water, H2O. You know, there's positive and negative ions in there. And there's a lot of information out there that says by putting your bare hand in soil, you are neutralizing the ions in your body, which is good for your health. That's become real popular.
That's all. You're above my pay grade right now.
a lot of talk about forest walking, and you have to do it barefoot. So as your foot hits the ground, you know, all those ions are exchanging between the earth and you. This is getting far-fetched, isn't it?
Well, I was just thinking, yeah. Were you all about the flower power in the 60s, Bob?
No, I wasn't.
That's hippie talk.
Yeah. You're
barefoot in the woods?
No, I wasn't one of them. there is some scientific information that does say putting your bare hand in the soil is good for your health for a lot of reasons. What are some of the benefits of growing your own vegetables? A lot. Big agriculture, has to grow food in a hurry. So they water often, they over-fertilize, just so they can get a crop in the field and out of the field quickly. But the home gardener, and this has been scientifically proven, the home gardener, we can put it in the soil and maybe not even fertilize because our soil is really good, you know. A lot of people say, well, it's all clay. Well, clay is not bad. Our perfect soil does have a good percentage of clay in it. Clay helps hold the moisture for a longer period of time. It has certain ions in it that are good for the plant. So in your own home garden, though, you can stay away from the sprays, the herbicides, insecticides, and you can stay away from over-fertilizing so that your vegetable will be more nutritious than the ones you buy in a store from Big Ag. And there's been a lot of tests done, and they do it with a fractometer. It's a little tool.
Your mouth, sir. This is a family show.
Okay. And they can see the nutrients that's in a vegetable. And they've tested, I pick on the tomato because that's the number one vegetable. They can see the amount of nutrients in that store-bought tomato, and they call it Brix, B-R-I-X, and that will maybe have a Brix of 4 or 5 around in that area. And then they can test one that was grown in a home garden without herbicides and pesticides and over-fertilizing to just make them supercharged. And that one will have a Brix of 14, 15, 16. So, in other words, it can take 3 to 4 tomatoes from the store to equal the one tomato that you grow in your vegetable garden for nutrition.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And that goes with all the vegetables you're going to grow in your garden. Lettuce is a real big one, where basically the lettuce you buy in a store really has no nutrients at all in it. It's really a Brix one.
Let me ask you, so you mentioned lettuce.
Yeah.
I've had bad luck with lettuce. It always tastes, I don't know, like acidic, like it has too much acid in it.
Or
it's like bitter or something. I don't know. What is it?
As the lettuce leaf gets old, it does start to get a little bitter.
Oh, am I waiting too long?
You must be waiting too long.
Oh, okay. Yep. But it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. If I wait longer, the leaf will be bigger. No.
No. Oh, okay. Lettuce is neat. You can grow lettuce, cut it right off at the ground. It will regrow. So you'll always have, and they can do it 3 or 4 times before it's really spent. So the younger the leaf, the better the taste for you.
Well, I'm glad I asked. Now, if you want to ask something, by the way, it's 368-9372. 814-368-9372, and you can call Bob, and you can also comment on our Facebook live stream and ask your question that way.
Yeah. Boy, we're getting way off track,
but
that's
sorry.
All right. That's all right. I enjoy that. So beginning gardeners, you know, start out small and then rotate if you can. If you're growing them in them pots or 5-gallon buckets, you know, at the end of the year, you just dump that whole thing and refill it. And in those buckets, use the bag soil, not your garden soil. Garden soil just doesn't work very well in a container. So get the bag soil. You need nice, loose, well-drained soil when you're in such a confined little space.
What, is it potting soil?
Yeah, potting soil.
Potting soil.
Yeah,
okay.
Potting soil. What else? Take steps to get your garden ready now. If you've already built that 4x4 raised bed or whatever size you want, or if you're just planting in a ground, I recommend still raising it up above the rest of the level of your yard for drainage purposes, because we can get a lot of rain, and that can be real bad for a vegetable plant or an annual.
How deep do we need to treat the lawn? Like what's the roots? How deep underground?
Good question. About a shovel length.
Okay.
That's about a foot.
Okay.
All shovels, you know, and if you're measuring in your yard, that's a good way to measure, you know, usually the end of a shovel, that blade, it's about a foot deep. There are different ones, but most of them are about a foot. So you need to dig down about that far. If you don't, of course, then you have less of a root zone. You'll still have a decent plant. But to have the best plant that you can get, try to dig down about a foot. Don't go measuring it. You know, you don't have to measure it.
But, okay. But you don't have to dig like 2 feet or 3 feet, you know, to make sure all that's...
No. That'd be for like trees and shrubs.
Yeah, okay.
Then you would... But for
just a garden,
yeah, vegetables and annuals, just a shovel depth is good, is plenty good. So where were we? I talked about the benefits. You know, you're going to get a lot more nutrition from your own vegetables. Grow some flowers with your vegetables. That can be very important. We're having a lot of trouble with our pollinators. I think everybody knows that. So to attract pollinators, and most of your vegetables need pollinators in order to produce the fruit or the vegetable that we want. So always plant some flowers with your vegetables. My grandma always planted marigolds all around her flower bed. That's for other reasons too, not just to attract pollinators, but that also works underground. They help attract nematodes, and those little nematodes are microscopic worms, a nematode. They can go through the soil and destroy the bad bugs that may be under the soil in their egg stage or their pupa stage, which is the beginning stages of their life. So can be very important. Plant some flowers to attract those pollinators in your vegetable garden.
I like that. Nematodes. I've learned a new word. I like that. I'm going to put that in my back pocket next time I want to insult somebody. You nematode.
Yeah, they're a microscopic little worm that does a lot of good in your vegetable garden or flower garden. So that's a big plus for marigolds. I'm looking at some plants here.
You brought in some show and tell, by the way. Facebook Live, you can check it out. Would these be acceptable to plant near a garden for pollinators?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Anything that flowers is going to attract a pollinator.
Okay.
Anything that flowers. So the first ones closest to me, which I talked about last week, are the geraniums. And I wanted to show you a few of the different colors that geraniums come in. That's kind of an orangey look there. But they'll come in red, coral, and a beautiful pink, and white. And they can be real beneficial to the garden and super easy to grow. And what's even more fascinating about them is the geranium really started out as a houseplant way back in Victorian times. And it's now become quite a garden plant because of its benefits. It's going to, of course, attract a lot of pollinators, but also has chemicals in it that can help destroy some of the bad insects, like I talked about last week, the Japanese beetle. A lot of times one bite from a leaf of a geranium can kill that Japanese beetle. But you can, in the fall, dig up your geranium, just like they did in Victorian times, and use it as a houseplant. And you can keep that geranium for several years. And, of course, it'll get bigger and better every single year and put forth more and more flowers every year. So geranium's a neat plant. You can't do it with all annuals, but a geranium is very easy to dig up at the end of the year and keep as a houseplant and grow a bigger, bigger plant. Make sure you put it in a bigger pot every year because it is trying to get bigger. So you can keep that for a lot of years.
Do you need a special light like during the winter for it or anything?
Just give it as much light as possible. A lot of people like to even put a fluorescent light over the top of it or an LED light and set that for most of the night. Doesn't draw a lot of electricity, very, very little, but it will give the plant enough light to keep it growing and flowering throughout the winter even.
So that's like a way to, I don't know, essentially supercharge your
flower. Yeah, it is indeed.
Wow.
Yep. Can be a lot of fun. That can be rewarding because you'll notice how much bigger it'll get every year. Another one I got here is the petunias, and I brought in three different colors here. Petunias come in a lot of different colors. Geraniums like to grow 10 inches tall, 10 inches wide.
So all three of these are geranium?
No, these are petunias.
Petunias?
Okay. Yeah. And the petunias can be a real money saver because they can take up a lot of space. A petunia can grow 2 foot wide. They don't grow tall. Most of them are creeping plants, but they can grow at least 2, some of them even 3 foot wide.
From these little pots here?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, that is good bang for your buck.
Yeah. So they can take up a lot of space, so you have to only buy fewer plants that way to fill in a bed.
So the ones you brought in for our radio listening audience that can't see it on Facebook, we have yellow, And then the middle one is really nice. Look, I like it's like a red velvet almost, it looks like.
Yeah.
Like a dual color red. And then purple with white polka dots,
yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, they've developed the petunia to have a lot of different colors and a lot of different color shades in each flower. This is just a sample. There are many, many more colors and of the flowers.
That's beautiful.
So they're going to prefer full sun, though. Now, you can grow them in part sun, but instead of 50 blossoms, you only may get 30 blossoms. Still well worth it, you know. Everybody can grow a petunia. If you grow it in deep shade, of course, it's not going to flower at all. The plant may survive, but you'll rarely get a flower. So keep that in mind. The petunias are real sun lovers. So try to put them where you get the most amount of sun. Not necessarily full sun all day long, because they still will perform even in part sun. But the more sun, the better.
So what do they need, like 6 hours of sun?
Yeah, yeah, about that. 6 hours of sun at least. And the less sun that's hitting them, the fewer the flowers, but still going to be worth the plant. So that's the petunia. And also it's a good indicator plant, I like to say. There are others, but the petunia is a good indicator plant. When you start to see the petunia wilt, the leaves get a little droopy, the flowers don't open as wide, that means it needs water. So if you're going to plant that new tree or shrub in your yard, and you don't want to go out there and check it every day to see if it needs water, because most people overwater, just look at those petunias you've planted underneath that new tree or shrub. And if they're wilting, then probably that new tree or shrub needs water too. If they're not wilting, then walk away. Because again, one of the biggest mistakes all gardeners make is overwatering. I can never stress that enough, and I'll stress that in other shows. Overwatering is a real problem. So that's the petunia, a great, great plant. And that goes way, way back. So that's a good hardy plant to plant in your gardens or the cemeteries too. You know, geraniums, of course, being a great one for cemeteries because they can withstand a lot of cold. They can withstand a lot of dry. They're just a real tough, tough plant.
And the one that's closest to the camera,
yeah,
beautiful pink flowers.
That's begonia. That's a wax leaf begonia. And you're going to be able to get that, and that has a dark leaf, we call it. But they also have a green leaf, and they're going to come in that pink, red, and white, those three colors. But that's a great plant because that can grow in full sun or it can grow in part shade. It's a very versatile plant. And it doesn't have a real deep root system. It can take some dry conditions, and it can take some wet conditions. So it's an easy plant for the first-time gardeners to grow.
So this is all the topic of the show is for your first-time gardeners, new gardeners. So
yeah,
all of these would be a nice starter flower.
Yes,
a
yes,
nice
indeed.
Starter plant.
Yep.
Great. Okay.
And really, all of them would be good for those cemetery plantings, too. Not only your home, but the cemetery, too, where quite often you in the cemetery, you plant it and you forget it. Mm-hmm. All these plants can withstand some harsh conditions.
Now, again, you recommend about a foot preparing the soil or not so much with these?
Not so much with the annuals, you know, go 6 to 8 inches deep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like one of those hand shovels, the mini
yeah,
shovels?
Yeah,
like,
that's going to be good
that.
Enough.
Okay.
Yep. But, you know, in preparing to plant, one of the first things you want to do, and, of course, it's real good time right now because the ground is very wet, is to weed. And the more the root you get out of there, the better off you're going to be because a lot of plants like the dandelion, even if you just leave a little part of the root in there, it has a chance of regrowing. So use your weeder. They make little fork-like weeders that you can get down deep and pry up the weed. Or you can just use your trowel, which is a miniature shovel, that you can sink down in there while the ground is wet and loose, and pry that dandelion up or those other weeds, and then shake off the soil as much as possible and get rid of it. So it's a real good idea to weed now before that ground starts to harden up, and it makes it harder and harder as the year progresses. So early spring is one of the best times to weed.
Great. We'll take a short break. We only have like 3 minutes left in the show.
Mercy.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, that went fast.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll be right back in 30 seconds. More Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
Spring has sprung. It's time to get your gardening underway with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Start with their big selection of garden seeds and fertilizers to grow all your favorite vegetables and flowers. Build attractive planting beds and landscape edging with railroad ties from Worth W. Smith. Dress it up with the popular black pearl mulch and add bags of landscape stone and pavers to finish it off. You'll be the envy of your neighborhood. It's time to get started. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And we're back with the Gardening Show. Master Gardener Bob Harris in the studio, and the phone lines. Well, we only have about like two and a half minutes left in the show, so you better get them in quick if you have any question for Bob. But what else was on your notes today that you wanted to talk about for new gardeners?
For new gardeners, another real important part to me and to a lot of people is try to get the whole family involved.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That can be very important, and even go so far as to get your neighbor involved. Offer them a tomato or a zucchini, you know, because you're going to have too many anyhow.
I got a great barter system going on with my neighbor. I give him fresh eggs. He gives me peppers.
See? That's a great way to make friends with your neighbors and to make you look like a hero, you know. And it's just a good thing to do. So try to get your kids and even your neighbors involved. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah. Little community garden.
Yeah. So what else do I want to talk about today?
Well, we got 60 seconds left. 60
seconds. So
you better figure it out quick, Master Gardener.
Okay. again, I want to stress the point that it's still a little bit early for the annuals, unless you're going to get them in a potted plant and you can bring them in at night to protect them from the severe cold or a frost that may happen. So you can still buy those annuals, but be prepared to take them in and out. Make sure they're out outside every day after the cold and the frost is over, and then in at night before that frost or cold can appear. But trees, shrubs, perennials, you can plant them now. They will show no ill effects at all from any kind of weather that gets thrown at them. So be, and your lawn, you know, if you got some bare spots, it's really a good time to fill in those bald spots by throwing down a little bit of grass. It's easy this time of year. You don't have to till the soil, prepare it in any way. Most of the time, we can just give a nice mowing and then scatter some grass seed there, and it should take a hold. Grass likes cold weather.
Oh, yeah. And now, what people put straw or hay on top of it. Do you recommend
yeah.
that?
If you have a big spot, you know, bigger than a 3 foot square spot, yeah, I would recommend.
And what does that do, actually?
It shades the soil, so the moisture stays in the soil longer.
Okay.
So you're not out there watering every morning and every night.
See, me, you know, being a not complete novice, I'm like, well, maybe it just hides the seeds from the birds. I don't know.
Well, that too.
Oh,
it does.
Okay.
It does that too. But mostly it's to protect the moisture in the soil.
Uh-huh.
It shades the soil so the seed will get moist and have an opportunity to germinate and grow.
Thank you very much for coming in for another week. Again,
you're welcome.
We're on Facebook.com/WESB107.5 if you'd like to see all of the different plants that you brought in today. And we will talk again next week. Thank you again. It's the Gardening Show. Master Gardener Bob Harris, and thanks to Worth W. Smith Hardware. We'll talk to you next week on B107.5 FM.